Well, welcome to another episode of WA This Week. Look, I'd like to start off with a serious topic, and that is the topic of crime in regional Western Australia. There is an epidemic of crime, particularly in the northern parts of Western Australia. If you go north of Geraldton, almost all community centres are seeing a massive escalation in crime in those areas. And the government appears to want to willfully ignore the fact that there is a crime wave occurring. My colleague, who's just announced his retirement, and wish him all the best for that, is Vince Catania, who's a member for Northwest Central. He has raised this issue in Parliament. You know, when he raised the issue in Parliament, rather than the government saying, here's a local member doing their job, raising an issue for his constituents, they try to call him a racist because he raises the fact that there is crime. You know, this is a government, they love to throw around slurs and insults to people, but what they don't do is their job, and no more so in this issue. You've got regional centres in the northern part of Western Australia now that are effectively becoming no-go areas for tourists, and can I say, just a nightmare for the people that live in those local communities. In every part of the communities, cars being stolen, houses being broken into, vandalism and damage. But behind all of it is a human tragedy, because the great majority of that crime is being carried out by kids, just young kids, kids who should be at school, kids who should be growing up and growing into good adults who are going to, you know, lead happy and productive lives. Instead, we've got children who are not going to school, who are not, in fact, being fed properly, and you know, they can't go home at night because of dysfunction in households. And those kids are out, and you know, the old saying my mum used to tell me, the devil makes work for idle hands, but, you know, those kids aren't engaged, and they're out committing crimes. It's obviously not every kid, but there's an enormous amount of crime occurring in those areas. And as I say, behind it is the tragedy of children whose youth is effectively being stolen. And they are not going to have the productive and happy lives that they should otherwise have. And the government ignores it. You know, they have these little activities. The government's great on announcements. They love to come out and announce some sort of program. They had an operation they called Operational Shield. They put a large number of police up into the northwest of the state. But, you know, it all falls away and everything goes back to where it was. And if you go to those communities now, crime is worse than it was 12 months ago, and it's worse than it was 2 years ago. So this is an escalating problem. This needs a serious focus on government. As I say, the real reason that you need this, obviously security in communities is vitally important, but think about those kids whose futures are being destroyed because they're not being properly cared for, and the state has the direct responsibility to make sure that those children are properly cared for. Cost of living is another area where the government has failed, and we've pointed this out before, but, you know, we're seeing huge price rises, a huge increase in the cost of rentals, because there are virtually no rental properties available in Perth. Now we're consistently seeing the return of lines of people outside rental properties competing for the few properties that are there. You know, it's not, I guess, a life and death situation, but coffee prices soaring, fuel prices soaring. The government can't obviously deal with all of those things. It certainly can help in the area of rentals. And they have made some moves, but they need to do a lot more to increase the stock of rental property in the city, and in fact, right across Western Australia. This is actually a problem from Kununurra to Esperance and all points in between. The rental shortage we have in Perth is in fact even worse in the regional areas. Many regional communities have effectively zero rental properties available, and that means you can't bring workers into the communities, you can't bring workers into businesses. But the government can help. You know, the government sort of likes to pretend that the utilities are somehow subsidised by the taxpayer or otherwise. I'll tell you about water. Water users in Perth pay $1 billion more for their water than it costs the government to provide the service. And that's increasing. If you look in the forward estimates, as they call it, the next 4 years, that profit is increasing year on year. So water users are paying basically about $1,000 a household profit to the government on water, a basic staple to your household. But even the electrical utilities, the government make much of the fact that they say, oh, these facilities aren't making money. In fact, follow the cash, as the old saying goes. If you actually look at cash flow, and if you aggregate all of the three electricity providers, so that is Horizon, Synergy, and Western Power, in fact, there's a massive cash flow positive. Now, they do an accounting trick where they put in nominal rates and taxes into those agencies and say, oh, well, that means that they're actually making a loss. But they don't pay rates and taxes. It's actually cash flow into consolidated revenue, and they are cash flow positive if you add those three together. So there's a bit of cross-subsidisation for the regional areas through Horizon, but otherwise still cash flow positive. This government has a $5.7 billion surplus. They have the capacity to give households in Western Australia at least relief on fees and charges, and that will help you cope with rising interest rates, rising fuel costs, and the other costs increases that you're seeing in your house. Some of you may have seen it. I'd encourage you to go online and have a look at the information that I've put up there around the government sale of Landgate properties in Midland. And I won't go through all the details. We did cover this before, but this is an appalling abuse of taxpayers' money. And, you know, as one of my colleagues said to me, something stinks about this. You know, how can you have, a property that's sold for tens of millions of dollars less than its actual value, and then rented out for tens of millions of dollars more, and that is rented back to government after they've sold it at a massive loss, rented back to government at tens of millions of dollars more than the normal market rental value for that property. How can that happen? You know, I've asked the minister in Parliament, we've otherwise publicly asked the government to explain this. Show us the detail. They say there's modelling done. They shouldn't have anything to hide. I mean, there's nothing commercial about this. The rentals they're paying are publicly known. So what? How did they justify it? What was the calculation that they say Treasury did to justify this property? You know, the farcical thing is they say the deal they've made is going to save $12 million. Now, by our calculations, the taxpayer is tens and tens of millions of dollars out of pocket over this deal, and that's money that could help deal with the rental crisis, could help those desperate people who are homeless, these freezing nights we're experiencing, those homeless people, that could give them some relief. Instead, as far as we can see, this is just a massive waste of taxpayers' money, and this is something we're not going to stop on. The government need to come forward and to explain. We will be using every avenue available to us to try and find out that information and find out what's gone on. Because as I say, there's something that stinks here. Either the government's completely incompetent, or worse, there's been some sort of deal done on this, and we'd like to know about that. And I think, and in fact, I'm certain all of you want to know about that as well. Just another topic I did want to touch on is the really offensive and terrible campaign that this state Labor government is running against St John's Ambulance. Now, that culminated yesterday in the resignation of the CEO of St John's Ambulance, Michelle Fyfe. Now, you know, there is a hard-working, dedicated lady who's been bullied out of her job by the health minister and by the premier and by the state Labor government. St John's Ambulance provide the most outstanding service to thousands and thousands of Western Australians every year. They have an army of volunteers who get meaning from their volunteer work, but otherwise contribute to our community. And this government has set out on a deliberate campaign to vilify them and to harm their reputation, and in fact, to destroy their reputation. And you say, why are they doing that? The reason they're doing it is very clear, because the union movement wants that service brought into government so that all the members become union members. That's what's behind it. This is simply a union-inspired claim, but backed by the state Labor government to harass and bully and vilify an outstanding public service purely so that they can drive more union membership and help the Labor Party ultimately through that union membership. You know, in fact, the campaign that's been run by the government and the unions on this is disgusting. You know, these claims by the government, and they've been promoting these claims publicly that somehow St John's Ambulance isn't doing its job in terms of, you know, getting to patients quickly enough. We saw that ridiculous story a little while ago. There were claims that there was a young boy seriously injured in the freeway, and that bit was true, that St John's Ambulance didn't attend the scene on time. In fact, they attended the scene in 4 minutes. There's one problem we have in this state in health, and that is that this Labor government has completely failed to provide adequate health services for the public of Western Australia. There are not enough hospital beds. Western Australia should have had another major tertiary hospital constructed and operating now for a government that's been in power for 5 years. Instead, what do we see? Record ambulance ramping. And a colleague said to me, don't talk about ambulance ramping because it sort of implies that somehow the ambulances are part of that problem. This is bed block in the hospitals. You know, on average, around one in five ambulances is actually parked outside a hospital because the patient in that ambulance can't get into the hospital. 20%. 20% of the ambulances are stuck outside hospitals waiting because the hospitals can't take the patients. That's the problem. And that's a problem of incompetent management by this Labor government in health. So, look, you know, I'm sure there are perhaps a number of you who are volunteers in St John's Ambulance, but don't take part in this this vicious attack on what is an outstanding and, can I say, the lowest cost ambulance service in Australia that provides enormous service to you, to the public of Western Australia. You know, and contact the government about this and just tell them how upset you are, because this is disgraceful. This is a disgraceful misuse of the government's power and all in support of a union campaign to vilify what is an outstanding community organisation. Look, thank you very much for your time this week. As always, please share this. You can obviously subscribe to this as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify or Stitcher. But if you want to grab the video and share it, then it's on Facebook, LinkedIn or YouTube. And if you just search for Dr. David Honey, you can find the podcast. Look, please share it. Get the message out there. You know, it's important that these stories get out there and this government is held to account. And as always, please give us your response and give us your feedback. I'm always really grateful for that, and it just helps us improve the message that we're sending out. Thank you.